how do you get a vendor that's communicating with you the latest inventory that you need for an ongoing project as part of a construction, let's say? Why doesn't that vendor just log in, update, and be done with it? Or why don't you just connect to each other via API and make that synchronize the data instantly? Well, it's because it's too expensive. That's where no-code comes in, where all these crazy ideas, which now are ridiculously expensive to implement, they become easy and fast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the podcast today, I have my special guest, Gabriel. Gabriel, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi. So my name is Gabriel. I'm the CEO of NowLogic. We're a no-code platform for small and medium-sized businesses to build back-office applications without developers.
Okay. So that kind of gives it away, sort of what no-code is, getting, you know, back-end without developers. But, you know, for anyone who is unaware, could you just explain what no-code is?
Yeah, so no-code actually has been around since the early 2000s. It used to be called business process management, BPM tools, where you draw a process and it somewhat automates the building blocks and builds something. As technology has evolved, now it's much more complex. You can build mobile applications, you can build mini websites, or in our case, you can build dashboards and like full FP&A controls for your back office. The difference between no-code and low-code is low-code, you actually have to write a little bit of code, but you get stuff done a lot faster. For example, two developers in a low-code environment can do what 10 do in a normal coding environment without having the risk of failing infrastructure or other problems.
Okay, so if this no-code and low-code as well means you don't need nearly as many developers, why isn't everyone doing it?
Everyone is doing it, actually. There are quite a few enterprise companies. SAP has a big deal with Appian, which is the market leader in the enterprise space for no-code. Siemens just bought Mendix, a huge company, been around forever. So everybody's doing a move in the no-code play. Amazon and Google, they already moved in the no-code play with some tools to help you make small applications, but they will move a lot faster. The thing is, making complex workflows, so not just a simple form and table, it's possible since 2-3 years ago. Before, the coding was too complicated to actually automate that far.
Okay, and what changed?
Changed that we have new frameworks out there that are very high performing and look very well. User interface and user interface design is much easier than it used to be. You have a lot of ready-made components that you can just connect them together. You have data aggregators. This was the key to the no-code industry. You have these companies which basically create a bridge between two APIs, and you integrate one API and you instantly have access to Sage, to SAP, to NetSuite, to everybody. And this helps out a lot because you don't have to manage all that infrastructure. And also, this is a big part because anyone who tries out no-code, they start by importing data. So the easier it is for them to start seeing their own data, the easier it is to adapt to no-code.
Okay. And this is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. What has no-code, you know, to do with supply chain? How can it help supply chain?
Well, supply chains have changed, especially post-COVID. The problems are more complex. There's synchronous communication. There's asynchronous communication. Vendor collaboration is more important than always. There's new rules and regulations around payments and what's allowed. For example, we have a customer telling us that the hospital informed them that they're no longer allowed to pay by check, to send by mail because of risk of health risks and whatever. So they need to move to a new infrastructure. But this means managing invoices differently, communicating with your vendors differently, checking stocks more often, trying to work with new partners from new geographies a lot better. And this all sums up in the new age of a basically collaborative supply chain, where you don't just have the classic manufacturing side where a product gets delivered to a warehouse and that's kind of it, then it just leaves. It becomes a lot more complicated and then there's a lot more actors that need to collaborate faster.
Okay, can you give me some examples of, you know, no code in a supply chain environment?
Yeah, well, we actually recently had a case with a medical distributor that works with about 80 plus vendors. And all of a sudden, they needed to worry a lot more about inventory. They needed to check inventory levels more often. They needed to handle different types of ordering patterns. If before, hospitals would just reorder and small medical practices would just reorder once a month, now it's a bit chaotic. Sometimes it's every 2 weeks, sometimes it's every 3 months, depending on what types of equipment and numbers of patients. And so what they needed was a solution where the vendors can also log in. They can check statuses of orders, upload statuses, update inventory, so they can go and distribute faster to their customers. And also payment integration. So payment integration via bank account. So directly the customer can pay via bank account and the vendor gets paid automatically because cash flow is becoming more and more important. If before 90-day vendor payments were completely fine, now they're asking for 30 days. So that makes it a bit more complicated on the cash flow side. And this all adds up to you either do it manually and stay on the phone all day long, or you find a way to help them log in into a little vendor portal and the customer on their ordering side, automate via email and try to connect yourself to the asynchronous channels of communication and just make it easy to pay, to deliver, to update and to collaborate.
Okay, for people who might be interested in something like this, is what you're offering, do you give it to people on a CD? Do they log in and access it? And if they're logging in to access it, how is it accessing the data in their systems? Or, you know, walk me through how all that works.
Yeah, so they basically start on our website. We have some ready-made applications that they can just start with. And when they need something custom, there's two options. There's the builder, which is where you try to build it yourself. Or if it's something more complex or you just don't want to do it, you can just ask us and we can explore a little bit your options, provide pricing. But you could just start on our website, check out in 20 minutes, you're up and running, test the system and see if it works for you.
Okay. And in the ones that are available, I'm guessing you have kind of a library of applications there available. Yeah. Are there supply chain themed ones available there, or would somebody need to build them out immediately?
No, there are already. So for everything that's wholesale, B2B wholesale, we have an entire suite for vendor portal, vendor login, vendor management. Profiles, dashboards, customer dashboards, inventory levels. We're also releasing something very, very novel on the inventory side with automated stock pumps, automated reordering, and some other rule sets. So those are already made, but since every business is unique and they have different needs, they're probably going to ask for some customizations. Luckily, most customizations that we get asked for are free. Because of our platform, it's easy and fast for us to do it. So we just give them for free.
Nice. What does that mean in terms of ROI for customers?
Well, the thing is, in terms of ROI, we're seeing pretty spectacular results because we're slowly trying to educate the customer to stop thinking in implementation period. So companies kind of time box the innovation that they do on the system to, I don't know, 6 months, 1 year implementation, and then that's it. They're just supposed to execute forever on that fixed system. We're trying to take it to the point where you can experiment, you can install a new app, you can try something. If you have an IT manager and you're trying to connect with multiple companies, you can deploy one app for each one of those companies. So in terms of ROI, we're trying to make it like a iteration. So we're helping companies iterate on their business process, which means in the long term, they're going to find a lot better solutions than just a simple implementation and execution.
Okay. Does this mean that the days of coding are over, you know, at least for the most basic functionality that you require? Is it now a whole new, brave new world of no code and low code?
Not really. I think the days of coding are just beginning, mostly because there's some staggering facts. For example, in California, there is 7 open positions for each coder. So basically, the market, the demand is so high that low code is just going to fill in some gaps in that market. It's also going to be more appealing to companies who maybe don't have the budget, the time, or maybe they just can't stomach the risk of such a big change, like changing the system, just like SAP, changing SAP. That's a huge risk with too many parameters to actually consider. So actually, no code, what it does, it fills in the blanks of activities that were not done and should be done. A great example is FileMaker. So FileMaker is a very, very old company. It was bought by Apple a long time ago. And Apple has been using it to create internal tools since early 2000, right? So they understood that to innovate fast, you need good internal tools. You need to build them yourself. You need to keep the knowledge in-house. You can't just outsource every time. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring the mindset that very large, more modern companies, tech companies have. We're trying to bring it to everybody. So you can install your own builder and keep everything in-house and build for your company and experiment internally until you find what works for you. And then you just go on and, you know, continue to innovate.
Okay. And if people have, you know, hopefully nice big SAP systems, how do no and low code systems connect to that?
One example would be we recently had an inquiry for a workforce management tool. So they had SAP, they had Anaplan for the planning, they had SAP as a main repository. But that was it. You have planning, you have executive, you have treasury. So they had all the major departments. But in the field, the actual workers in the field, they had nothing. They just submitted Excel files. So that's what no code would fit. For example, this was for workforce training and also for attribution. It was a dynamic workforce and they needed to be attributed to different retail locations, depending on load and planning. But there was no feedback from the field. So the reports were just Excel files done by managers and most of the time forgotten. And what no code would do is would give a little app to the workers in the field where they can report the number of hours, where they can pick up their new location, where they can check their schedule, where they can see some information, where they can get some new orders or some notifications. And all of those will be synchronized back to SAP to create the full overview, not just planning, not just the planning, but also the results and the actual facts from the field. And that's pretty much what no-code is going to do. It's just going to fill in the blanks and basically just get data from in the field, get it back to planning, and see planned versus actual, how does it look?
Interesting. So one of the things I do in SAP is I'm a futurist. And how I explain what that job entails to people is I say, I plot trend lines. You know, I look at where things were in the past, where things are today, and then I project forward. Well, you know, that's where it's going to go next, logically, given that it's been there, it's now here. That's the kind of direction of travel. So if we're looking at, you know, there was code, then low code, no code, what's next?
Next is actually something that we're already working on. Next is bridging the gap between natural language and code. So basically, you're having a conversation with a chatbot that collects information and asks questions. And the result is a system, an app. So instead of doing all the drag and drop yourself and trying to figure out the process, we take processes from millions of companies and we automate those by industry, by geography, by types. And then within a conversation about your business, you could actually build that system. So predictability, think of it as a, you have really good ERP consultants that come to big companies and they lay out strategies and they say, okay, you guys need SAP because of this, this and that, right? Those guys are 3,000-4,000 a day at least to get to work with you. And the results show, right? They do get ROI. But that's not really for everyone. So not everyone's going to be able to do that. So, but if we crowdsource and gather that information and then distribute it for lower subscriptions, then we can automate for smaller companies, not for large corporations, for smaller companies. We can automate a lot of that. So think of it as an AI business consultant that has a lot of data points in mind. They know a lot about process. They've seen the results because we're connected also in the financial results. So they know what works. They know what worked for different companies and they propose to you the same thing.
Interesting. Interesting. And what's the business model then for NowLogic?
Subscription model. So we're going just after subscription model and there's some usage fees for bigger customers. They have usage fees. We also have an enterprise option where customers can deploy on their own infrastructure. So they own the code, they own the data. Very important. Big companies love that. And we just try to keep it as simple as possible.
Okay. Very good. We are coming now, Gabriel, to the end of the podcast. Is there anything that I've not asked you that you wish I had, or is there any topic we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
I think people don't yet realize how big of a problem bad code is. And I don't think they realize how much money they're leaving at the table by not trying to innovate. Stripe estimates bad code in enterprise to cause $300 billion worth of damages every single year. Why? Because you just advance with a technology, you try to add on top, and that becomes unmanageable at one point. But companies keep ignoring this because they think about the cost of change, but don't really think about how much money they're actually leaving at the table by not trying new things, not trying to connect to new data sources, not trying to collaborate differently and collaborate faster. So I think we're still a bit stuck in this two sides to business. There's email and phone on one side, which is the normal. And then we have some sort of boring input that we have to put in the system. You got to put in your leads. You got to put in your transactions. You got to put in. And then there's the whole magic of automation and RPA, which grew really fast, which kind of bridges that a little. Mm-hmm. But the next step after RPA is to think smarter. Like, how do you get a vendor that's communicating with you the latest inventory that you need for an ongoing project as part of a construction, let's say? Why doesn't that vendor just log in, update, and be done with it? Or why don't you just connect to each other via API and make that synchronize the data instantly? Well, it's because it's too expensive. That's where no-code comes in, where all these crazy ideas, which now are ridiculously expensive to implement, they become easy and fast. But there's one prerequisite. You have to want to innovate. That's the most important part. And that's still a problem, but hopefully it's going to change.
Okay, cool. Gabriel, if people want to know more about yourself or about NowLogic or about no-code, low-code or any of the things we discussed today on the podcast, where would you have me direct them?
So gabriel@nowlogic.com, my email me anytime, nowlogic.com. You can find us. We have a live chat. Email, LinkedIn, same. I'm going to drop my LinkedIn in the description. Just connect, talk. If you have any, if you want to know more about no code and if you have some problems that you've been trying to solve for years, but the high cost of implementation didn't allow you, let's talk about it. Let's see, maybe we find a solution.
Superb. Great. Gabriel, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.